Moncrief on News Talk.
Play it again, Sam, is a famous movie line, except in the actual film, Casablanca, no one said it. That's Woody Allen's fault, apparently. What we remember from famous films are often misquotes. Brian Lloyd is here to run us through some of them. Afternoon, Brian.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Because Woody Allen had a movie called Play It Again, Sam.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and even like I was thinking about it as I was driving in. Like when we think of like Star Trek, what do we think of? Beam me up, Scotty.
Never said.
It's always two to energize or, you know, two to beam up or whatever it is. No one ever say beam me up, Scotty.
Because that wasn't Scotty's job.
Correct.
In Star Trek.
He was the chief of engineering.
That's
he was
right.
not the transporter chief.
Yeah.
Chief Miles O'Brien was the transporter chief on the Enterprise D.
Yeah.
Just to be that nerdy about it. And then went on to become chief of engineering in Deep Space Nine, so I can see how people would make that.
Ah, yeah.
Make that mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, movie quotes. Yeah, I mean, they're very good. I suppose part of the reason is that one, you have the sort of the way that our minds kind of remember quotes and what have you. We will generally kind of, you know, hue stuff down for context. Like, for example, you know, the famous quote from The Empire Strikes Back is, you know, everyone says, oh, Luke, I am your father. And when he says truth, he says something completely different.
Mm. Do we have a clip of that?
We do have a clip.
Yeah.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
Yeah, that was the famous scene where Mrs. Robinson appears in Star Wars.
Yeah, with the hand and cuts off Dustin Hoffman's hand.
Yeah. Never told you what happened to your father.
He told me enough. He told me you killed him.
No. I am your father.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
So he never says Luke.
And he never says Luke. And I mean, I suppose the reason why that has been so kind of entered popular culture lexicon, whatever you want to call it, is because it's just punchier to say, Luke, I am your father, as opposed to, no, the context of the scene is that the hand has been cut off and blah, 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 blah. So it's the Mandela effect. We streamline things. We remember things in a more punchier fashion.
Yeah. Oh, so that's, it is rather than, it's actually been misquoted dramatically. It's kind of a slightly amended quote more than anything else.
I would argue, yeah, it's not necessarily a misquote so much as it's kind of a, you know, being rewritten for context, rewritten without the context and just used as its own kind of thing.
Yeah. Now, the treasure of Sierra Madre, what's...
This one, right. Yeah. So this one is the famous quote. The quote that is often misquoted is, badges, we don't need no stinking badges. Which... Where that misquote came from was in Blazing Saddles. In Blazing Saddles, when Hedy Lamarr, who is the evil kind of corporate bureaucrat, is trying to recruit a load of bad people to run through Red Rock, and he's got like the Ku Klux Klan, and he's got like a bunch of bikers, and he's got because it's the West, of course, and then a bunch of Mexicans turn up, and he hands them the badges, and they go, "Badges, we don't need no stinking badges," and throws them away. And the actual quote is something completely different.
And here's the actual quote.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
Okay, fair enough. Right, okay. And we actually heard a bit of it there, so that was a bit of a spoiler alert, but The Graduate.
The Graduate, yeah. So the famous quote is you know, you're trying to seduce me. The famous scene in The Graduate, one of my favourite films. When Anne Bancroft puts the leg up and that great shot where you can see right through her leg to Dustin Hoffman. Yeah. I'm trying not to sound like a creep. I'm just trying to describe it as it is. And he's obviously very kind of awkward and what have you. And the real quote is something not totally different, but again, it's that thing of streamlined for context. It's something completely different.
Yeah, there. And here's the clip of it.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
It was more kind of uncertain, rather than a bit.
Like, I mean, again, that's the thing, is that like when you take these quotes out of the context that they are said in, we have to streamline them and kind of provide a context in that misquote. And I mean, I think the reason why people kind of mishear that one is because the line she says afterwards is I'm not trying to seduce you.
Yeah.
And that's like been used. I want to say it was like a George Michael song it was used in. Probably in a Madonna song. I'm sure there's people ringing or texting in now to correct me on that. But I'm really sure it was a George Michael song where the line is, I'm not trying to seduce you. And then that's maybe where the misquote came from.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So another one is we're going to need a bigger boat.
Yes.
But that's, yeah, that's interesting, actually. Yeah, because what's the actual quote?
This is from Jaws. Yeah, this is from Jaws. So the actual quote is you're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
When he sees the, he goes, chomp some of this S-I-J-T, and then he's the little Bruce, the Bruce the shark runs by, and he like stands up, and there's that great shot of Roy Scheider just absolutely wetting himself, and he like steps back into the orca. And actually, side note, a friend of mine actually has a little bit of the actual orca.
Wow,
he actually has
cool.
it. Yeah, it was his birthday there last week. He's actually an editor and on a big film at the minute. And his wife bought him this like tiny little little kind of like, you know, they used to sell those bits of the cross.
Yeah.
They used to sell. He has a little kind of bit of the orca that was like sank in Martha's Vineyard in 1975. Someone took like obviously a big huge board out of it and are now chipping away and selling off little pieces
okay,
of it.
Okay, cool. But anyways, present idea.
It is. I thought it was a great one. But yeah, the real quote is, you're going to need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
Not, we're going to need a bigger boat. It's, you're going to need a bigger boat. Because he was talking famously to Quint, who was, you know, messing around with the engine, and then they realised that.
Yeah, and Fatboy Slim had an album called, or one of his incarnations called, I Think We're Going to Need a Bigger Boat.
Yeah.
Slightly muddying it.
Muddying the water there again, and there's no thinking about it. Like, it's literally, you're going to need a bigger boat. Like,
yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger, according to one text, Arnold Schwarzenegger never said, I'll be back. He actually said, I'm good crack, in a heavy Austrian accent.
Well, interestingly, on that one, the original line apparently was, I'll come back.
Ah.
But apparently he misread it, because you have to remember at that time, like this was like 1984, Arnold Schwarzenegger was still learning English and still didn't have a great command of it. So when he read the script, he just like shortened it to, I'll be back. And then just walked out of the scene then. And they were like, okay, that's good enough, because like James Cameron was making that for pennies, really.
Yeah.
And like every scene that was shot in that film, if it was the first take, like, great, that's perfect. Move on. We've got to use it, because they obviously had to pay for the celluloid film. So when he messed up the line and said, I'll be back, they were like, that's good enough. Let's move on. Because then after that scene is a big, huge action set piece.
Yeah, it's funny that I wonder, did they know at the time that that's going to be the quote people remember?
It's such a kind of nothing line, fairness. Like, it's always kind of weird. Like, I mean, okay, I get it. It precedes, like, in the case of, like, Jaws, for example, it precedes a big scene.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the shark suddenly begins to attack the orca and, you know, it's the final kind of act. And then, obviously, in The Terminator, when he says, I'll be back, then, if you remember the film, he drives a car literally into the police station and then there's this big famous shootout in it and stuff like that. And I don't know. I mean, a lot of the time you talk, like you hear like interviews with actors and stuff like that. They have no idea about what kind of line is suddenly going to latch on. Do you know what I mean? Like, I remember Richard E. Grant talking about him, Whitnail and I, and he said, like, he's had people roaring lines at him from the film, from Whitnail and I, as he's walking down the street and stuff like that. And he has no idea what they're talking about very often. He's just like, what? And then, you know, and then even another, I remember he was talking about as well, like Spice World apparently gets quoted to him a lot. And he said, like, I've actively tried to suppress that film. Like, as much as he's, like, he's very upfront about it. He loves the film. You know, it's become a camp classic and all the rest of it. But he says, I've kind of suppressed part of that from his brain. So when people roar lines at him, he's just kind of giving them the thumbs up. Like, yeah, great. Cheers. Thanks. Okay,
I think I know where that film is from. Because Gordon Gekko never actually said greed is good.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. So the quote he says in the film is, greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed works, greed clarifies, greed cuts through and captures the very essence of the evolutionary spirit. And it's just been truncated down to greed is good. And again, that's kind of the whole thing of the. And like then in the sequel, Money Never Sleeps, which was terrible, the opening kind of line in that Gordon Gekko has is, you know, a long time ago I said greed is good. Well, it turns out now greed is legal. And that's kind of the whole sort of talk about Money Never Sleeps, that it's a critique of late-stage capitalism, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that worked. Jimmy Cagney saying, you dirty rats.
Yeah,
He never said that.
And it's like, you dirty, it's something like, I'm going to get you something, you dirty rats. That was from White Heat, I want to say. And then the other one was like, you know, Top of the World. That was from
Top of the World, Ma.
Top of the World, Ma. He actually says, Made It, Ma.
Yeah.
Top of the World. So, like, those misquotes and stuff like that, it's very often just kind of streamlining a line and kind of feeding in context that wouldn't necessarily be there from the line.
Yeah. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth from a few good men. That I always thought that line sounded like this will be the line that'll stand out. This is the line we'll put in the trailer.
Yeah, definitely. And when you go back and watch a film, you can tell that like Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson know that this is like the crescendo moment and stuff like that. And they are going for it. And actually, the brilliant thing about that film is as well is that, again, because I'm one of these losers that actually listens to the commentaries and stuff like that. And Rob Reiner talked about that scene. And he said that generally what happens when they're doing kind of like, you know, over the shoulder shots and all the rest of it, they normally just have a stand in because obviously they can't be paying for Jack Nicholson to just kind of sit there and take the line when they don't necessarily need him and his head isn't in shot. But for that film, apparently, Jack Nicholson made the point of being on set every single time they were doing the over the shoulder shots because one, he loved seeing Tom Cruise act. He was so complimentary about Tom Cruise and Kevin Bacon and all of them. And he was like, I just wanted to see him act. And like, I was happy to be there and be generous and give him the reaction and act against it. And that's why I think that scene works so well is that you can see that the two actors are there and they are both bouncing off each other. And, you know, when we think of like most kind of films, like I always kind of think if you can see the two actors in the scene, you know then that they're actually bouncing off each other as opposed to doing a pickup and an over shoulder shot. Like so.
Yeah. Did Dorothy actually say, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore?
No, she said, Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Okay. Which so again, that's a kind of a cut down.
Again, it's a truncation. Like very often these misquotes are just kind of truncations as opposed to like entire misquotes. Like the one from Gone with the Wind is like, what is it? Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. But it's often misquoted as, frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn. And again, that's just adding context because he's saying it to Scarlett O'Hara as he walks out the door and stuff.
Well, now, somebody texts in to say, going back to Terminator, James Cameron wanted Arnie to say, I'll be back. But Arnie wanted to say, I will be back.
Yeah, I think that was, if I remember that right, was he said, I will come back, not I will be back. Because he thought, Arnie thought that, because again, he was trying to act, he thought that an android, a robot, wouldn't use the truncated I will as opposed to I'll. But because they were kind of moving so fast, it was running and gunning with the film, and he just said, "I'll be back." And they were like, "Great, that'll do. That's been done. Keep going."
But in fairness, no, they're actually. Yeah, do you feel lucky, punk? Dirty Harry never said that.
He never said that. No. Yeah. So again, the context of that scene was that Harry Callahan was trying to eat a hot dog, a horrible looking hot dog, and then there's a bank robbery out the back. He walks out, blows the guy away. And then he's walking up to him and he gives him that line of, you know,
the Magnum 347.
Yeah, 357. Did I fire six shots or only five? Well, on the confusion, I forgot myself. So you have to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky, punk?
Yeah.
Not do you feel lucky? Because then he says, do I feel lucky, punk? Well, do you, punk?
Yeah.
And then you know, he picks up the shotgun and walks away. And
yes. But there would still be a lot of quotes that are still kind of accurately. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Yeah, I mean, those are like, I mean, again, yeah, nobody puts baby in a corner. That's the one that everyone, and like, again, that's, you know, the context is right there. You know, that's what I mean. You don't have to provide extra context in order to make that quote make sense. You just say nobody puts baby in a corner. Bam. Everyone knows what you're talking about. You're talking about Dirty Dancing, Patrick Swayze, the end scene, the lift, all the rest of it. So it's not. There are more often the case, the quotes are, I find, film quotes are quoted correctly because film people generally tend to be very, very pedantic.
About that kind of
about
thing.
About that kind of thing. Yeah. So they have to get the lines right.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse from the original Godfather.
From the original, from the first Godfather.
Are there any other quotes in Godfather films?
Is that the only one? No, I mean, like, it's not personal, it's just business.
Yeah.
Which is like another kind of line from that scene. That's when they're basically planning out to kill the police captain and Salazzo, who's like the Turkish heroin dealer and stuff. And he's like, you know, well, I'll make him an offer. No, that's where he says it's not business, it's just personal. That's when they're planning it out. But then when he says, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse, that's talking about Johnny Fontaine's manager when he's trying to get him out of the deal and he goes, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Yeah, which for them seemed to be a...
It's like either...
You got the sense they said that a lot.
They did, yeah, because at the start of the film, Al Pacino's character is relaying this story to Diane Keaton where he's trying to get Johnny Fontaine's... His father was trying to get Johnny Fontaine's manager away from him. And he says he made him an offer he couldn't refuse. And he goes, well, what was the offer? He said he assured him either his brains or his signature would be on the paper. And then later on in the film, he says, oh, well, I don't know if Mo Green is going to go for that. And he says, oh, well, I'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
All right, so we know the subject's that. Leave the gun, take the cannoli. I don't know what film that's
from. That's from The Godfather as well.
It's right.
Again, after they shoot, I forget the guy's name, but they shoot him and then it's like, you know, leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Yeah.
It's like, dump the gun, take the sweet little treat that they had with them and stuff like that.
We will be talking about Toy Story 5 after 3. What's your one-line review?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Really loved it. Zara loved it as well. I know I'm jumping the gun here, but you're talking about it. She loved it as well.
So, okay. Yeah. Fabulous. All right. Thanks a million, Brian. As ever, Brian Lloyd there.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.